Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44, these are God's words. Then he went down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
No.
But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him, and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served him. And the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. And he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Let's end this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The evangelist Luke, by the Holy Spirit, gives us the theme of this portion of Scripture by naming it, especially at the beginning and at the end, that Jesus, at the beginning, verse 31, was teaching them on the Sabbath, and then Jesus, at the end, was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And so the focus is especially on Jesus as a preacher. The first thing that the crowd was astonished with, that first church service that we hear about here in Capernaum, is the authority of his preaching. That he preached and he said, these scriptures mean these things. And so we are required to believe them, and you're required to believe what they teach and obey what they command. And we know that that is how Jesus preaches to us. Whether we are reading the scripture and seeing what it says, but especially when we're in that assembly on the Lord's Day of which the scripture says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks from heaven." So there's authority in Jesus' preaching. It's the same authority by which he's going to destroy all the demons. And they are afraid that that's what he's coming to do. And they cry out and they identify him and he shuts them up. Because he's not doing that yet. It's the same authority by which he heals all our diseases. He has authority to undo, to rebuke Peter's mother-in-law's fever. He has authority to heal every disease of every person who comes to the door in Capernaum. But that is not especially what he has come to do. He has come, what does he say? "For this reason, for this purpose, I have been sent." What is he talking about there in verse 43? The preaching. The scripture says that these signs and wonders that he did, and that he also, by his Spirit does, God testifying with the preaching of the apostles, did, that this is to affirm his authority in the preaching. So, what is Jesus doing? Well, he's actually doing a greater miracle than destroying demons, and he's doing a greater miracle than healing diseases. He's taking those who are wicked like demons, and by his authority giving them not just physical resurrection, but spiritual resurrection. This is the great thing about Jesus' preaching to us. Not just he has authority that whatever he teaches we must believe. Not just that he has authority that whatever he commands we must obey. But that he has authority to give spiritual life by his word so that what he teaches we are able to believe. That he has authority to give spiritual life by his word so that what he commands we are enabled to obey. It's not that our Lord Jesus is waiting to display his power. It's that he is exercising in his authoritative preaching a greater power, even if we can say it that way, or the same power in a greater way when he gives us spiritual life to believe and to obey by the authority of his preaching. And we say, he is King Jesus, so I must believe him, whatever he tells me in his word. And we say, he is my King Jesus, who exercises that authority, not just over me, but for me and in me, so I'm able to believe him. And when I find myself unable to believe him, I come again, and I sit under the preaching of his word, and I say, he's exercising his authority to give me the ability to believe that I don't have in myself. And when we recognize his authority over us, that he is our king, so we must obey him. And then we find out what? I can't obey him. But he's not just my king so that I must obey him. He's my king who gives his life in me by the preaching of his word so that I can obey him. So if I find myself having difficulty and stumbling and falling, which I often do, I say, well, I'm just going to keep coming because this preaching that he was sent to do is not just a display of, but an exercise of his authority. And he has appointed the word and the sacraments and prayer as means by which he works his strength in us. And so we keep coming and we keep not just trying to believe and obey, but trusting him to enable us to believe and trusting him to enable us to obey. And he uses preaching to do that. And that is why in this section in particular, these expectations that the people had, they wanted to keep him there, keep him on call, as it were, so that he could heal all the diseases whenever they came up. That's coming in the resurrection. We'll be resurrected with glorified bodies and never get sick or injured again. But the great thing now is the exercise of our Lord Jesus' authority, who gives us life, destroys wickedness, and heals us spiritually by the proclamation of his word. And he does this very similar. There's a pattern here. Week by week, on the Sabbaths, the first day Sabbath, which is called the Lord's Day, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, which he displays by healing not just shriveled arms and fevers, but by healing us and sanctifying us and producing in us that holiness without which none of us we'll see the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we often think of the casting out of demons and the rebuking of fevers and the laying on of hands to cure physical diseases as if that is what is spectacular. Forgive us for walking so much by sight instead of by faith. How we thank you that you have decided to exercise your authority with that which is more spectacular, even if we can't see it as a spectacle, even if we can't observe it with our eyes, that you have given life to those who are children, by nature, children of wrath, and as lost as devils, as lost as demons, apart from your grace. And yet you have, by your word, given your life to be in us. And we thank you and praise you for reminding us of that and correcting our inside-out and upside-down view of things by means of your word just now. And we pray that you would make us to keep seeing it as a great thing when you, by the authority of your word, do your glorious work in each of us. Help us, Lord, to bring you glory as we grow in grace, as day by day and reading by ourselves and in these family worship times and week by week in the Lord's Day worship and sitting under the preaching, that you are working effectively in us by your word, which is the implanted word, able to save our souls, make us wise for salvation. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth until you bring us at last to the glorious day in which all our diseases are gone and you have destroyed all of the devils and Satan himself and death itself. And as we look forward to that day and the final end of it all, Lord, we pray that you would make us to appreciate that you are working in us by the same glorious power now. And so we love you and we praise you. And we ask for eyes to see this, not just so that we would get some theology right, but that we would respond with lives of thankfulness and praise and worship to the greatness of who you are, whom you have made yourself to be unto us, whom you have made us to be unto you, and what you have done for us and what you are doing in us and what you will have done when you are finished. Make us to worship you and to live lives of worship, we ask, Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in your name, and your children in this place say,
amen.
Amen.